Okay, well today I'm going to start a, okay, good, we'll just kind of wait for the slides, a new series. And we won't be doing it every week, but we will be doing it off and on. And this series won't be like the book of Hebrews, I don't think, but it could last for 3 or 4 months. Again, off and on. And, you know, actually I debated, is this a good time to start a new series? And I thought, maybe it's not. And then I thought, you know, it's probably a great time because this is a series that I've been thinking about and working on actually for probably 3 or 4 months, just jotting ideas down. And this could be a good time because I think it's something that, you know, probably our Sunday morning attendance is at an all-time high, you know, these weeks. And so this is probably a good time to really be able to you know, to start this series. And I want to begin with two verses. First of all, Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 through 3, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting, and get this, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, it says, Paul's talking, he says, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. What does it mean when something is unfathomable? It means you can't even fathom, you can't even think of it, you can't get your arms around it. And that's the way the riches of Christ are, the treasures of all knowledge and wisdom that can be found only in Christ. There's other places that it talks about the riches of His grace. Other places it talks about the riches of His glory. And obviously it's not talking about physical treasures and riches. It's talking about something that's eternal. And there's actually a, you probably remember kind of seeing this before. This is a picture of someone coming in. And this is kind of like what it is when we start thinking about who we are in Christ. There's a treasure room. And the thing is, this just goes on from room after room. It's unfathomable. We can't get our arms around it. There's no way that we can pick it up in buckets and take it out. And God is inviting us to enjoy the riches of Christ in Him. And I've been studying and looking at many passages over the last several months. And my conclusion is, we don't, and I'll say I don't, really even begin to comprehend the breadth and the height and the length and the depth of all the riches that are found in Jesus. And again, we're talking about spiritual riches here. And so may the Lord open our eyes and give us a revelation of these unfathomable riches of Christ. May He show us how we can appropriate these things in our lives. You know what the word appropriate means? It means to be able to take, receive, and to put into practice. And may He give us the grace and the anointing then to impart it to others. Actually, the more I'm studying this, the more I believe that what we're going to be talking about in the weeks ahead is something very needed for the church today. These things will equip us and envision us to be the light that we are called to be in these days of human history, which we know is getting darker and darker, right? And more confusing. So this is a very important series, but we do need Holy Spirit revelation. Actually, in Ephesians 1, starting in verse 17, this is at the beginning of the book of Ephesians. Paul prays for the Ephesians, and he says in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. You know, he's praying that. You know, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, or riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. You know, we need that type of revelation. We do. You know, and so anyway, we want to start with just asking, and today, by the way, is just an introduction, but we want to start with the question, who is Jesus Christ? Sadly, our understanding of who Jesus is often shallow and doesn't begin to touch upon the fullness or the greatness or the magnitude of who he is. And so for us to even begin to understand the treasures, we need to kind of understand who Jesus is. And, you know, most people who listen to this are probably big Christians. Many of you have been for a long time. Some of you maybe not as long. And usually when we think of Jesus, and I'm including myself into this too, we think of Jesus as being a physical person that was here on earth. And by the way, he was. You know, he was here on earth for 33 years. We see that he changed history. We see that he had some great teachings by which we need to live by. He did lots of miracles. He healed the sick. He cast demons out of people. And those are all things, it seems like we can get our arms around that. And we also know that he went to the cross to die for our sins. And these are things that most Christians, you know, we grasp. More or less. But when we're asked, then what? We become more uncertain. Yeah, he went to heaven. Oh, wait a minute. He's in our hearts too. I'm not sure quite how that works, but yeah, something like that. Oh, and he's coming back too. And we start to get foggy again. And we really get foggy when we start reading or talking about some of the passages that we're going to be looking at, like John 15, about how we are to abide in him, and he's to abide in us. And we think, what? It sounds kind of nice, but what does that really mean? Or in Colossians 3, it says, our life is now hidden in Christ. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not so sure I get that completely. Or in Colossians 2, it talks about being rooted in Christ. Wait a minute, how does that happen exactly? You know, what does that mean exactly? You know, or being complete in Christ. Colossians 1 talks of being complete in Christ. Well, wait a minute, I'm not complete in Christ now? You know, and some of this sounds kind of mystical, and even maybe we're kind of attracted to it, but it doesn't really have anything to do with our normal everyday life. And God wants to change that for us. Or the verse that we just read in Colossians 2, Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We think, now we may know that up here, but we don't live our life like that, because we spend our life chasing a lot of other things as treasures and wisdom and knowledge. And then you take a verse or like a passage like in John 6, where Jesus is talking about you know, I am the bread of life. And then, you know, unless you eat of my flesh, you can have no part of me. You need to be partaking of me. And of course, that's the passage that many of the disciples, it says, left following him, except for the original 12. And that's where, you know, Jesus says, and do you want to go also? And Peter says, well, you have the words of eternal life. Where else can we go? And the implication is, Jesus, I don't understand what you're saying either. And a lot of us don't understand what it means to partake of him. You know, and then it talks about the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been revealed. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do we really comprehend what that is? We might be saying, yeah, it's kind of a mystery. Well, it's not to be a mystery for us. It's not to be a mystery. God wants us to understand these things. And he wants us to appropriate them, to begin practicing. They should be affecting our daily life. And when the church begins to get hold of some of these truths, we're going to be the church. We're going to be the body of Christ. And the world will see Jesus. You know, sometimes I wish Jesus was here on the earth right now, because he could touch so many people's lives and then they'd really see. But you know what? Jesus is here on the earth, and he manifests himself through his body, and we need to be reflecting his life. But unless we kind of get our arms around some of these truths, I'm afraid it's not going to happen. So this is what this study, this series, is going to be all about. And my prayer is that by the end of this study, we will be understanding these things much, much more and deeper, and we'll be walking in these things. And we'll be transformed more and more as a result. Actually, Galatians 4:19, it says, until Christ is formed in you. By the way, that's another one of those verses that, wait a minute, Christ formed in me? Well, I invited him into my life. Well, yeah, I know. But we need, is Christ being formed in your life? That is the purpose of this series. Okay, a few things to help you get the most out of this study. One, listen to every message. If you miss, go find it. And the good thing, it's easy to listen. If you happen to miss something, then you can always go back and listen to it on Sunday night or Monday morning. Okay, so listen to every message. Don't skip any, because we are building. I mean, yeah, every message by itself is important and can stand alone, but if you get all of them, you're going to get a much greater grasp of this. Second, I'm going to ask you to go over all the verses, or the main verses, not maybe something I just kind of happened to quote, but the ones that are up here on the screen. Go over the verses on your own. Pray, Lord, give me understanding of this. Read over, maybe read over them two or three times. Meditate on them. And then I'm asking you to listen to the message a second time. Wait a minute. If I already listened to it the first time, why do I have to do it the second time? Well, I can tell you that for me, and maybe you're smarter than I am, but for me, if I'm listening to something, or especially if I'm reading something, if a book really means something to me, a Christian book, I read it at least one more time. In fact, there's probably 10 or 15 books that I've read multiple times, and I find that every time I read them, I get something more out of them. And so if you go back and listen to this a second time, I can promise you that you'll get a lot more out of it the second time, especially if you've kind of looked at all the verses and passages. And then the fourth thing is I'm going to have a verse of the week if you commit that to memory. And so by the end, there may be, 12, 15 verses you've committed to memory concerning this theme. And if you do all that, you will begin to comprehend what we're talking about here. And the good thing is that you probably have the time to do all this. And that's one reason why I thought, yeah, this is a good time for this series. All these things, such as abiding in him, having our life found in him, Christ being formed in you, beginning to grasp and understand all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom, all these things that we've talked about. So, can you make a commitment to do this? If so, I want you to pray with me right now, okay? Father, this is a topic that all of us have touched, we've read about so many times, but yet, Lord, we're not really living it. We don't understand the magnitude of it all. And Lord, we want to take this seriously, and we ask, Lord, that you would make these things real to us, that you would help us to appropriate them, to take them in, to receive them, that they be part of our life. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to do this. We need revelation. Holy Spirit, revelation, do that for us. And Lord, give us the grace to be able to take this seriously and to do the things that we've been talking about here, to listen to every message, to go over the verses, listen again, commit to memory the verse of the week, and maybe even other verses. Lord, give us the grace to do that. Give us the discipline to do this during this series. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I just want to kind of say again that we're not going to be touching on this every week, but probably 3 out of 4 weeks, you know, we probably will be. Okay. Today, let me just kind of give a quick introduction. And I want to do that by starting to look at John chapter 1. Actually, for the first several weeks, we're going to look at the Gospel of John. And the reason is because who is Jesus? One of the best ways to find out who Jesus is to see what Jesus says about himself. And he talks a lot about himself in the Gospel of John. And then we'll go to some other places of the New Testament. We're going to start talking about what it means to abide and to have our life hidden in him and some of those things. Okay, John 1. Let's look at the first 4 verses. John 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay, so here we see that Jesus, and this is kind of hard to comprehend, is the Word of God. You know, he was at the beginning when God's word went forth and said, let there be light, let there be this world, let there be the universe. It was Jesus is the Word of God. Now, this is one of those things that's kind of hard to understand because I think we're used to thinking of, well, Jesus is a person. And how can he be the Word of God too? And, you know, this is where revelation is needed. Actually, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Actually, the whole chapter is really good, but let's look at starting in verse 9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Let's just stop there. Did you know that if we love God, this is a perfect verse. You know, there are things that we can't even begin to comprehend. And then it goes on, verse 10, it says, for to us, that's those who love him, God revealed those things through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Okay, what is this saying here? It's saying that there is so much of what God has for us. Human wisdom cannot explain it. It's something that only the Spirit of God. And one of the reasons God gave us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of us, is to reveal these things, to teach these things. And that's one of the main purposes of the Holy Spirit. And we can have confidence if we are seeking him and asking him to reveal these things, he will do that. You know, there's some things that human wisdom cannot understand. And that's why we The first step is we have to truly be born again, or else we're not going to understand the things that we talk about in this series. Okay, so, but by the way, in Luke 10, it's not on here, but you can kind of look at it. I think it's verse 23, 24. Jesus tells his disciples, "Blessed are your eyes which see the things that you see." And then he goes on and talks about how kings and prophets long to see these things, but they can't see what you see. Why? Because they didn't have the Holy Spirit opening our eyes to these things. So when it comes to something like the Word of God, Jesus being the Word of God, ask him to reveal this to you. You know, of course, we know that the Word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. We're told that in Hebrews 4, verse 12. It's powerful. The Word of God transforms, renews the inner man. How does that happen? Because Jesus has manifested himself as the Word of God. The Word is Jesus. Now, not the written test. And this right here, the paper and the print is not Jesus. But what is breathed out, you know, God will take this text and he breathes forth life. And that's Jesus breathing forth life into us. And it's something supernatural. It touches lives, hearts, minds. There is life in the Word of God. Actually, verse 3 in John 1 says, verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Colossians 3, verse 16. And I can remember reading this thinking, that doesn't really make sense to me. And over the years, it makes a lot of sense to me. But Colossians 3, verse 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." Well, wait a minute. How does, do I kind of get the Bible and kind of eat it? No. But you let what's being breathed from God's word, from the Bible, it's life. Jesus is speaking to us. Then I take it and kind of bring it inside, and I let it richly dwell within me. And that's what we're talking about. Revelation chapter 19. Almost at the very end of the Bible, of course. And starting in verse 11. This is a picture of Jesus at the very end. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True." Who do you think that is? That's right, Jesus. "And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name," the name he's talking about, "is called the Word of God." That's right. Jesus is the Word of God. He was the Word of God before he came to earth. You know, Jesus Christ is eternal. And actually, verse 3 says, "All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has not come into being." In other words, Jesus was there, and he was the Word that went forth that created all things. He's the Creator. You might be saying, "Wow, this is kind of hard to understand." It may be hard, but the Spirit of God will open your eyes to it if you seek him about this. This is very important for us to understand. Okay, let's go back to John 1, verse 14. It says, and by the way, this is going to be the verse of the week. So, "And the Word," Jesus, "became flesh and dwelt among us." Literally, it means he lived or he tabernacled with us. And this is the incarnation. You know, we talked a lot about that in the great book of Hebrews, didn't we? Emmanuel, God is with us. So the Word actually, in God's divine purposes, the Word of God, Jesus, actually became flesh and lived among us for a while. And We saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's right. You know, mankind saw the glory of the Lord because the Word of God became flesh. And they beheld him. And he was full of grace and truth. Through his word, we see Jesus. We see the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, if our eyes are open. When we read God's word in faith, we are really having an encounter with Jesus. Jesus is there speaking to us. And that's very important for us to see. And we're going to build on this in the weeks ahead. But I think this is important for us to see today. But by the way, it's Jesus, the Son of God, who we're talking about. You know, it's kind of trendy now for people to speak of God, you know. The problem with this is that God, in the minds of many people, is whoever they want him to be. You know, well, I think God does this. And, you know, in my mind, God wants this from me. Or he's like this. Well, you know, that's kind of, there's kind of a problem with that, isn't there? Jesus, on the other hand, is the reflection of God. That's how we know God, is by looking at Jesus Christ. And Jesus, we can't do that with Jesus because we have his life. We have his words here in God's word. And there's no guessing. So anyway, Jesus is the Word of God. And so here we're going to develop this over the next few weeks. You'll see it a lot more. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, also, he's the Word of God. Now real quick, we also see that Jesus is the light of the world. Let's look at verse 4, John 1 again. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So in Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. Then verse 6, there came a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist, right? He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify about the light. So Jesus is the Word of God, but he's also the light. The light, the light. There was the true light, which we can kind of, we'll find out a little bit later. There's a lot of phony lights. There's, pseudo light, lights that not really light, but there is the true light, which is Jesus, which coming into the world enlightens every man. Now, what do we understand about light? One thing light does, it exposes darkness. And when Jesus, the light, comes in, yeah, it can be a little bit uncomfortable because darkness, well, let's face it, it likes to hide. And when the light shines on it, it's there, it's open. And we have to do something about it, right? But light also reveals truth. It reveals mysteries. It says here, it enlightens men and women. He enlightens every man has an encounter with Jesus. Where we were once spiritually blind, now we can see. It's like someone just turned on the lights. And we've all kind of had that experience as we began to grow in Christ. It's almost like the lights are on. I'm not sure if you've ever done this, but if you've ever taken a road trip that includes traveling through part of the night, or maybe getting up real early, and I don't know about you, but I always enjoy like watching the scenery and stuff. But I can remember several times driving through the night, and all of a sudden the light comes in, and all of a sudden I see, wow, we're in a beautiful forest, or wow, look at the mountains, or wow, look at the beaches, or whatever it is. The lights come on. I can see before. I maybe knew enough to kind of stay in the road. But once the lights come on or the sun comes out, all of a sudden it's like, wow, I didn't know we were here. Wow, this is really beautiful. And that's the way it is with the Lord. You know, he is the light of the world. Actually, John 9, verse 4, he kind of says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He turns on the lights for us. And that's what an encounter with Jesus does. Jesus is the light. And so I think we can probably also add this. He's the light. Now, Jesus is also the Lamb of God. Let's look at, let's go down the same chapter, verse 29. The next day he saw Jesus. This is speaking about John the Baptist. Remember, he wasn't the light, but he was called to what? To testify of the light. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the way he testified of him. And then in verse 36, and he looked at, this is the next day, he sees Jesus, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. You know, he doesn't say, this is the Messiah, this is the one I was talking about. He just says, behold, the Lamb of God. And we've talked extensively about Jesus being the Lamb of God in our Hebrew study that we just finished. So we're not going to talk a whole lot about this, but just to say that the sacrifice of Jesus as the Lamb of God opened the door for us to have an encounter with Jesus. You know, because before, sin separated us. There's no way we could see the light. There's no way that we could, I mean, we might could read the Bible, but it wasn't being breathed out. Jesus' words weren't breathing into life into us because there's sin in our life. And so Jesus, as the Lamb of God, they've been promised for centuries and centuries as the sacrifice, he, by his blood, he did what? He made it possible for us to be righteous, for us to be able to stand before him, for us to be able to go to the throne of God, and to be able to have fellowship and communion with him. And so the Lamb of God, Jesus being the Lamb of God, is a very important part of who Jesus is, because he has all this that he wants to reveal to us and do with us and in us. But it starts with recognizing him as the Lamb of God. And that's why that was the first thing that John said. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And when Jesus takes away our sin by his blood, then we're in a position to be able to discover the unfathomable riches of Christ. So Jesus is the Lamb of God. Okay, so in conclusion, and we just looked at, by the way, we just looked at chapter 1. We didn't even look at all of chapter 1 in John, did we? And by the way, this isn't going to be a study on the book of John, although that would be a great thing to do. But do you see already how big Jesus is? And we're talking about just some pretty obvious things. You know, we've got a lot more to cover, you know, but Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, is much bigger and much greater than just being a good teacher, being a good person. He is the Word of God. All things came into being through him. And as the Word, he breathes forth life as we in faith go, and we can have an encounter with Jesus through his Word. He is the light of the world. He's the one who turns the light on for us, that we can begin to see things. We begin to see life in a different way. We begin to see the world. We begin to see our brothers and sisters differently. We begin to see ourselves differently when the light shines on it. And so that's very important. And he's also the Lamb of God. He was the sacrifice that was made in order that we might be righteous and be before him. And by the way, that is what gives us eternal life as well. And so it's not like we're just trying to get as much of Jesus as we can in this world and then all of a sudden we die. No, and we don't know what's going to happen. No, we do know what's going to happen. That upon death, or when Jesus comes back, we begin to have the fullness of Jesus. So May, we're going to share, next time we're going to do this a lot more, we're going to get into this a lot more deeper. This has just been an introduction. But may the Lord give us revelation to see the magnitude of who Jesus is. We have to get that before we can talk about those unfathomable riches that he's imparting to us and he wants to give to every believer, not just to pastors, not just to house church leaders, but to everyone. Amen? Okay, just the verse of the week again, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Memorize this week. Meditate on it. Ask God to speak to you. And you know what? When we ask God to speak to us through his Word, because that is Jesus, he breathes forth life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're talking about something that the church, all of us need very, very much, a greater understanding of who you are and the treasures of all knowledge and wisdom, the unfathomable riches of Christ. Lord, we need revelation. We need our eyes to be open, and we ask that you would do that. May we seek you in truth. Lord, again, we ask, Lord, that you would give us time this week. Lord, actually, you have given us time. We just need to take that time to be able to look at these things, to study these things, and Lord, just ask you to work these things in our lives in a deep way. Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, listen, I'd like to say, you know, spend some time.